Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Ask the Expert session. Today's topic is Enhanced KICS IPIC Communication Debugging. My name is David Long, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number two, the agenda. In today's session, we will start off by introducing our panel of experts to you. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to Enhanced KICS IPIC Communications Debugging. Next, our panel of experts will answer the questions that they provided. Then we will open the lines for a live question and answer period. Finally, the session will end with a summary of today's session. Moving on to slide number three. At this time, I would like our panel of experts to introduce themselves for today's call, starting with Wayne Windsor. Please go ahead, Wayne.
Hi. As you said, my name is Wayne Windsor. I've worked in CICS Level 2 for the last 25 years. Most of that time, I've concentrated on the communications area of CICS.
Hi, I'm Sue Demaray. I've been working in KICS Level 2 for about 4 years. Before that, I was working in system tests. Norman?
Hi, I'm Norman Harrison from the KICS team Level 3 in Hursley. I've been working in KICS for 26 years, and I have my fingers a bit everywhere in KICS except Java.
I worked on IBM and the KICS Level 3 China team since 2011. And my work is to handle KICS APARs and PMRs, and I mainly focus on KICS communication technology areas. And Robin?
Hello, everyone. This is Qi Dazhi from KICS China 2010. I work for Level 3 team for more than 4 years, focused on KICS connectivity field. Okay, back to you.
Okay, that will take us then to slide number four. And I'll go ahead and introduce what we're going to be talking about today. As customers move away from SNA networks, many are migrating from LU62 connectivity on widely dispersed CICS regions to using IPCon connections. IPIC, for the IP interconnectivity, takes advantage of an all TCP/IP network. This presentation will discuss various aspects of how to look at the health of these IPCon connections using CICS's own data collections and online functions. The presentation is based on CICS Transaction Server Release 5.1 and its capabilities. As there are a number of enhancements at this release, some things may be discussed in this presentation that are not available in earlier releases. We'll now go then to slide number five and turn the time over to Sue Demaray to discuss the first question.
Okay, the first question is, how do you look at resources for IPIC that compare to MRO or LU62 in a dump or in real time? Moving to slide number six. One thing to keep in mind is that MRO and LU62 do use the same pool of resources, but IPIC uses its own. We'll assume in this presentation that you do have some experience with MRO and LU62. So moving on to slide number seven. We're going to be looking at dumps, first of all. We'll also look at some real-time information that you can gather through system definitions in CETA or with the master terminal, and finally with the Explorer. But in this section, we're going to look at what you can do with dumps. For MRO and LU62, one of the first places to gather debug information is in the TCP section. You'll see control blocks in the TCT, or the terminal control table, with each connection represented by a system entry, or TCT SE, and each session represented by a terminal entry, or TCT TE. So, moving on to slide eight, the IPIC resources are in the intersystem domain, or the IS domain, and so that's very different. There are three primary resources that you would want to look at here. That would be the ISCB, or the connection block, the ISSB, or the session block, or the ISSS, the session set. In the connection block, you'll find information like the partner Apple ID and the service and recovery status, as well as port numbers and statistics. In the ISSB, you'll see send and receive status, the length of data, and conversation state flags. INDISSS. There are information about error flags and required and released status, as well as chain pointers for the ISSCs. Moving on to slide 9. At this point, I'm going to refer you to look at the IPIC debug information that was presented in a prior technical exchange. If you look back to March 2013 and pull up the presentation called the KICS IPIC Communication Debugging, there is a presentation along with the MP3 file that goes along with that. And that breaks down some items of interest for seeing the IPIC partner, determining the resources that are involved, and how to pick these very specific information out of the dump that you have for IPIC partners. It also walks through a hang scenario and how to find the information that you need in a dump. So if you have a dump, that's how you can find the information that you would want to look at for debugging. And on slide 10, we'll look at the information that you can actually gather in real time. So there are three primary ways that you can look at information to debug. One would be through the CETA transaction to look at system definitions. You can also go to the CEMT master terminal transaction and look. You can either monitor or alter the information there, as well as check status. And there's a wealth of information that you can also get from the KICS Explorer. So moving to slide number 11, when you're looking at the CETA transaction for MRO and LU62, you can use the connection and session inquiry. You can look at the session and connection definitions that were used to create the TCTSE and the TCTTE. In IPIC, those definitions will be under the IPCon and the TCPIP service. And you can look at the number of sessions defined to the partner region there. Moving to slide number 12, you can also use CEMT to look at MRO, LU62, or IPIC. You can check on things like the service status, connection status, or pending and recovery status. Moving to slide 13, here are the commands that you might use for MRO and LU62. You can inquire on the connection or the net name. When you inquire on the net name here, it will actually give you information about the TRAN ID and task ID if one is present on those sessions. Moving to slide 14, CEMT only provides the IPCon status, so this does not include information about the individual ISSCs. To get more detail, and one of the ways that you can actually check on the health of your system that is probably more informative would be by using the KICS Explorer. So moving to slide 15, the Explorer is set up similarly to CEMT, and you can inquire on a great many resources other than just the MRO, LU62, and IPIC. You can see a great, basically almost everything that you have defined. But to go into that, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Wayne, and if you advance to slide 16, he will give you some great information on debugging using the Explorer.
Thanks, Sue. As it indicates, you can get real-time information from CEMT and the KICS Explorer about the health of the IPCon, of the IPIC connection. We can go to slide 16, please. Excuse me, slide 17. Go on to slide 17. CEMT only provides basic information about an IP connection. While it shows how many send and receive sessions are defined, it does not show the current status of those individual sessions. It assumes that if the connection itself is acquired, then all of the sessions are also acquired. You can find tasks hung in IS receive weights by inquiring on all tasks in that state. You do an inquire task on an HTY of IS receive, and you could then see all of those tasks. However, CEMT doesn't provide very good way of finding what IP connections that those tasks relate to. You could look at each individual task to find the H value that would provide you with the IPCon name and the ISSB name that it's associated with, but that could be fairly time-consuming. So if we go to slide 18, the KICS Explorer provides the ability of looking at the health of the IPCon, but does not provide individual ISSB information either. So what we'll do is look and see what kind of information we can see for these session. Slide 19. This presentation is not geared to provide detailed information on how to set up and configure the Kix Explorer to be used. Just realize that it's a function of the CPSM process, and if a region is not doesn't have the MAS agent running in it, it will be invisible to Kix Explorer. But once you have the CICS regions set up to be monitored through CPSM and use the Explorer to gather that information, there are various different kinds of piece of information that can be gathered through Explorer for this. There are, to see those different pieces of information, you can choose different operations. For instance, on this screen, you can see at the bottom of the pull-down menu for that IPIC connections and ISC MRO connections are different kinds of operations that you can choose from. Again, because MRO and LU62 have been around for some time, we will assume that you're already familiar with that, and we have just time in this presentation to concentrate on IPIC and how to look at it. So with that, let's go to slide 20. The operations that I found to be useful in inquiring on IPCon help is the task associations, and the IPIC connections operation itself. We'll go to slide 21. So how do you look at those different operations? Once you've chosen them, they become tabs within Kix Explorer, and once you choose that tab, each operation provides its own individual set of fields that you can look at the health of. Those can be displayed in columns, and to choose those columns, you can hover the mouse over the small triangle in the upper right-hand corner, and you'll see that it displays that as the view menu. By clicking on that small triangle, you will then pull down, you'll get a pull-down menu. Slide 22. This just shows what that pull-down menu looks like, that you can choose various different things, one of which is to customize the columns that you'll be looking at. Slide 23. So this shows what the panel looks like for you to be able to choose the columns of information that you want to see. On the left are the available attributes. On the right are the ones that you currently have chosen to look at. Any option will only appear on one side or the other, whichever it's currently in. If you highlight an attribute on the left, the Add button will become current, and you can click on that to add it to your current views. Or you can highlight an item on the right, such as the task ID that's currently highlighted. The Remove button will become active, and you can remove it from the current columns. If you have any questions about any of these items that you want to look at, you can highlight that and click on the question mark in the lower left-hand corner, or press the PF1 help key, and the help information will be displayed in an additional set of columns on the right, where you can read more about any individual attributes. We go on then to slide 25, since 24 is just a repeat of what I just said about slide 23. So you can see here that I have chosen a certain number of attributes in the columns. On the left is the actual region for the information that we'd be looking at. Task ID is a task number. TRAN is the TRAN ID. Whatever the status is, you can, principal facility would be if it's a terminal-oriented task, if somebody's at a workstation typing away, that's the one it's connected to. If the task has been suspended, you can see how long that is. And for the purpose of our discussion today, we can see that there is an associated IP facilities count that's available in the tasks operation. One nice thing about Explorer is that you can click on the header for any particular column, and it will sort by that column.
Each time you click on the column, it will toggle between ascending and descending. I currently have it in descending mode, and so we could see at the very top how many of these tasks and which tasks are associated with IP cons. You'll notice that for the purpose of this test, we just used C route to occupy an IP con session and a CEMT task, which is conversational, to hold that session so that we could see what these various suspends look like. Going on then to slide 26. One of the things that the tasks operation does not show is which IP con those things are associated with. To do that, we go to the task associations operation, and we can see that I have included the attributes that that shows what IPCon resource it's associated with. So in region INX5, we can see that IPCon resource 52A is associated with three of those tasks, and for IYNXA, IPCon resource A25 is associated with one of the CEMT tasks. Going on then to slide 27. Finally, we can look at the IPIC connections operation itself. I'll start out here with just a moment of looking at the headers that show the nominal status of the connection itself, whether they're in service, acquired, whether you have any recovery operations that need to be taken care of. This is all very similar to what was available in CEMT. We go then to slide 28. This provides some information about what it was that we did to get the screens in the positions that we saw them. We restricted the IP connections to just having three send and three sessions each. We only started one CEMT across the connection from 5 to A, and then tried to start four connections, four CEMT tasks from A to 5. Since there are only three sessions, then the fourth one would have to wait. We'll now see what those look like through Explorer on slide 29. So I've moved the screen to the right, essentially, to show more of the columns that are available. And some of the attributes that you can see are how many tasks or transactions have been attached. The next three, the send count, P send sesh, and C send sesh, have to do with the send counts for each side. Send count is the total number that are available. C send sesh are the current number that have tasks associated with them. R receive count is, P send session is the peak number of sessions available. And then the same kind of thing for receive, where you have receive count for the total number. P receive is the peak number that's been used at one time. C receive is the current number of receive sessions that are available. You'll notice then that for IYNXA, that it was used to send more requests cross and only received one, and so we have inverse numbers between these two regions as they as the tasks have built up. And of course, the fourth one shows in peak queued and still in current queued as how many tasks have been queued up. And so you can see through these attribute headers, the you can look and see where processes may have hung or bottlenecks may have formed within a region. If we then go to slide 30, we'll see that that's just a listing of what those headers are for, so we'll go on to slide 31. So in summary, by correlating the information through three of the operations, tasks, task associations, and IPIC connections, that you can identify where the work is in CICS try to identify any blockages and eliminate any tasks from those to try to free things up if needed. So at this time, we'll then go to slide number 32 and continue with question number 3, and Norman will take that over. Norman?
Okay. In question 3, what we're going to be trying to achieve here is to highlight the difference between IPIC, MRO, and NU 6.2 in session recovery terms. Can move on to slide 33, please. Okay, in slide 33, we are trying to highlight here how LU 6.2 actually currently works. It's using VTAM in error on the session or issue of the log with some DFHZC messages. They all start by that. And in some cases, when the error is severe, kits may actually decide to close this or terminate the individual session. Note that the individual session is in between two tasks, not a connection level. Then, depending on the error, type of error we got, KIX will try to attempt to reacquire it by doing an open desk to get it available again, if it's appropriate in that case. And what the application is going to see, it's going to see a term error, a condition returning, or an abandon for the task. We move on to slide 34, please. Okay, in the MRO case, MRO use IRP. There's no VTAM involved. There's no TCP/IP. It's pure KIX. IRP run as an SVC in an MVS region, and so it can also use XCF to go cross MVS image. In an IRP case, the error normally or recover automatically by IRP, and the equivalent of terminating a session when reacquiring a session compared to LU 6.2 is using a disconnect request or a connect request. The same will happen to the application. The type of error the application will see is going to be a term error or an event being issued. If we go on to slide number 35, please. Okay, now, the main difference with IPIC is that if from an application point of view, a session is represented by an ISSB. Okay, and each ISSB are actually a chain off of a socket. Okay, and KIX can use up to a maximum of 2 inbound socket and 2 outbound socket. That's in the KIX 5.1 to KIX 5.1. You can use less. If we move on to slide 36, please. Okay, the error level that IPIC does, that if you have an error on the ISSB level, which is in mean in between the two tasks communicating with each other from one KIX region to another one, then in general, KIX will actually recover from that. And again, the application would be returned a term error or an abandon specific to the type of error they have. However, if an error happened on the socket level, then there's no recovery on that. Normally what happened is the IPIC connection is actually going to be released, and it'll have to be reacquired manually to get it back again working. Go to slide 37, please. Okay, slide 37 is another. It's a question about the security. How can we tell the security level in real time or in the dump with IPIC? So if we move on to slide 38, please. Okay, basically, you can't really tell from a dump unless you really look at the KIX control blocks, which was the ISCB, the ISSS, and the ISSB. But the security level, it's the same as MRO and LU 6.2. There's three layers of it. There's the IPIC bind security, IPIC link security, and IPIC user security. On the following slide, slide 39, we're going to talk about the bind security. The bind security is, again, the same as MRO and LU 6.2, is done at connection level, is to make sure that a connected system is allowed to talk to the ones actually receiving the request, and if it's not authorized, then KIX we're just going to reject it. We move on to slide 40, please. Okay, to specify the bind security, you have to have a sec equals yes, specifying the SIT. The IPCon attribute of SSL equal yes must be specified with a cipher value and optionally a certificate label. There's no other parameters to specify on the IP connection for security. If we move on to slide 41, please. Okay, the IPIC link security, again, is the same as the MRO in 86.2. It's actually in conjunction as well with the what we call the user level security. The link security is on the task level, so after having successfully established a link in between the two regions, a request coming in will have to have to be assigned a user ID, so which is can be done at the link level, or it can be more granular at the task level. Okay, the check will be done. There's a check always going to be done on the link security. We move on to slide 42. Okay, when the link security, it's all the requests coming in or actually running under the link user ID. If you want to be a bit more granular with this, then you have to go with to specify the user security level, which is the local identify and verify, which use various levels of security check, which is again the same as MRO in 86.2. And if the security failed, then the task would get a link of link not authorized return code or an append if it's not handled. If we move on to slide 43, please. Okay, you can specify either a cert user or sec user in the link security. It's established in KIX with the security initialized equals sec yes. Sec user specify the user ID in the security name attribute. Again, this is all the attribute from the IPCon. If we move on to slide 44, please. Okay, slide 44. Now, to use the security, TCP/IP must be configured to use SSL, which is a must, and it has to be done on both sides. The IPCon also need to be defined. The TCP/IP that is going to be using the IPCon also need to specify that it's going to be using SSL, in this case, client authorized. And then the receive certificate must be defined to the external security manager so that the association with the user ID, which is used to establish the link. So if we move on to slide 45, please. Okay. How can we tell online what it is? With CMT, if you inquire on ARP connection, you can actually expand on the option that has actually been used at the time, which can be seen on slide 46, which is the next one, please. Okay, and this is a short version I was trying to put there to highlight what's actually valuable for security purpose. So you have the SSL on the first little box. You have the SSL type, which is like in this case happened to have there's no security, so there's no SSL. And on the little box below that, it's the user auth. Find out what if you have local, verify, identify, or default. The link authorization, which is sec user. Again, the ID prop value, the security name, if one specifies certificate, and the cipher name. If we move on to slide 46. Now I'm going to hand on to Wayne, which is going to do the explorer bit.
Okay, thanks, Norman. So on slide 47, as we saw earlier, CICS Explorer can show various columns of information depending on the operation that you're looking at. In the IPIC connections operation, you can choose to look at the SSL type, link off, and user off fields. So it's all the same information that was available in CEMT is also available through the Explorer. Or if, because Explorer only allows you to choose a certain number of columns to display, if your current column sets don't include these, you can actually look again at a specific IPIC connection in a specific region and see what is listed there. So just by putting your cursor on there and clicking, you'll bring up a detailed panel for that. And if we go to slide 48, we'll see some of what that looks like. Again, because there's such a long list of attributes that could be shown, I've just shown the selection of the three items that are of interest to us for this question, which have to do with the security settings for link auth, SSL type, and user auth. They're presented in alphabetical order, and so you just scan down through the attributes. We can see at the top that we're in a certain CPSM scope. We're looking at region IYNXA at the A25 IPCon to look at that information. And so all that same information is available through Explorer as it was through CEMT. We'll then go to slide 49 and return control to Norman to continue with this question.
The the security setting, or mainly in the ISCB control blocks, some of them may be found on the ISSS and the ISSB. They are not formatted by IPCS, so you have to go and look into the data area to find the layout of the control blocks and locate these field in the ISSB. The supplementary data area is not distributed with KICs or available online, so I think you have to order them separately. If you move on to slide 50, please. Okay. In Fault Analyzer, can be used also to format the dump. The detail that can be actually seen there is just representing the IP connection, see if this SSL is on, and what type of authority that the IP connection have is either local, identify, verify, or default user. The link auth is not currently displayed on the issue, and you need to contact Level T to find some assistance to find where it is in the dump. We move on to slide 51, please. I'm going to end up over to Aaron and Robin for that question.
Okay. This is Xi Dazhi. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, let me answer the last question. First, let me repeat it. What is the best documentation to gather for IPSC problem, and how do you gather it? Okay, turn to page 15.2, please. So for the best documentation, we should first confirm that the IPSC communication relies on three layers. The first layer is the socket layer, and above socket layer is a WB layer, which handles the HTTP protocol. And above the HTTP layer, it is the IPSC protocol layer. We call it IS layer. So we should make sure that our dump covers these three domain control blocks in our dump. Also, if problem happens after a series of events or errors, we also need a large size internal trace or auxiliary trace to record a series of step or operation or errors. So turn to page 15.3, please. Okay, we know there are three layers involved in IPSC connection. So the lowest layer is socket layer, who is in charge of socket communication. Another way is TCP/IP transmission. So from this layer, if we turn trace level to level 2, we can record the data communication on TCP/IP level. As we know, the whole data transmission on TCP/IP. Use trace entry we list below. 0201, we can find all socket send bits. And also 0202, we can find all socket receive bits. Sometimes it's helpful for me to check if the transmission or communication on socket level, if there's an error in this level. So turn to page 15.4. So above the socket level is the web level, which in charge of HTTP protocol communication. So in this level, we can find all HTTP body-related information in trace entry number 0700. For example, we can see the HTTP request and the HTTP response in IPSC communication with this trace entry. Okay, turn to page 15.5. So above the HTTP protocol level, WB level, it is ICE level. We call it IPSC protocol communication level. So in this level, we are focused on two concepts. The first concept is the IPSC related control block. As we have mentioned above, it is ISSB, ISCB, and ISSS. SSB is the session related control block. ISCB is connection related control block. And ISS is the group, or inbound or outbound session control block. So this control block recorded can help us do some analysis on these three levels of communication. So the other concept is we can record all IPSC communication bit block in HTTP header and HTTP body. It will be helpful to understand what has been transferred in IPSC protocol. So as listed below, we can use the trace entry 0801 to find the ISSB, ICB, SSS control block to do analysis. Also, we can use 0716 trace entry to check the S header, which is bounded in HTTP header, to find some information such as conversation ID, the data type, such a kinds of information. So turn to page 15.6, please. Also, we can check the tracking dump to find out the control block related to ICE state transfer. There are several types of ICE control ICE state. For example, there's the ICE 14.3 date, means IPSC request, DPL request date. And also there are ICE 10, includes the UOW ID, ICE 14.4, contain the channel container information, and also, the store content, the channel header, and IS 14.5 contains the container information. So this kind of IS information was combined into the whole in HTTP body. We can check this kind of information to find out if there's an error in this control block. The other important control block, IS control block, is IS 01, which is called the capability exchange state. It's used in the acquire step, which taught the communication each both sides, the protocol they support, the callback IP address, the port, such kinds of information. So if there is some error during the acquire process, we can check this capability exchange information to check. Okay, next, 15.7. Okay, except the dump, we can also check logs rapidly to find some useful information, especially record the connection status change and also the errors in processing the IPSC network state. There are three kinds of log information we can focus corresponding to the domain, such as DFHIs, WB, and SO. So the error issues in this three catalog means the error in which level the error is captured. So, for example, if there's error as a message issues prefix with DFHSO, it means that some error happened in socket level. So we can check this level of dump or trace to find out the reason. So more information we can find in KIC's info center. Okay, that's all. Back to you, Wina.
I'd like to thank our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. At this time, we would like to open the lines for a live question and answer period.
There are no questions at this time.
Thank you. I do see one question in the group chat. And the question is, we have been hearing that the KIX Explorer will be replacing the WI after TS 5.1. When will the Explorer be updated to include the RAS GN devs and the other necessary items found on the WI but not found in the Explorer?
We don't have information on those particular fields at this time. So if we could get the contact information for the person submitting the question, we can get back to you on that.
Okay. There is a an email address that this person can send their question to. It'll be coming up in a couple of slides. At this time, I would like to advance to slide 60 and pass the presentation over to Wayne for a summary of today's presentation.
Thank you, Dave. As we have seen, the information about IPIC connectivity is available online through CEDA, CEMT, and the new CICS Explorer, as well as information being available in the dump. You can use these sources of information to determine the configuration and the health of the IPIC connections. You can use the information presented here and in the March 2013 presentation for help on how to investigate problems or configuration issues with IPCon and IPIC communications and what documentation to gather if you need further help from IBM. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wayne, for the great summary. At this time, we will conclude the Ask the Expert session. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and a sincere thank you to our panel of experts for presenting today.